are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Hopefully you've had a great week so far. We're geared up for three Wolves games in 4 days this weekend, including a Friday, Saturday back-to-back against Houston and Oklahoma City. Today we're going to preview both Wolves Rockets on Friday and Wolves Thunder on Saturday. It's the third time the Wolves have faced each of these teams, and so we do have somewhat of a history to go on for each matchup. We'll talk through what to look out for, what each team has done recently, and we'll also touch a little bit today here in our first segment what success might look like during what's a tough three-game homestand this weekend. The Wolves are headed back home, of course, still on a seven-game losing streak, their second massive losing streak in the past 5 weeks or so. So we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. First, I did just want to, I mean, we're within a couple weeks here of the trade deadline, so I do think it's important to talk about every little trade rumor that does come out there, since we are here daily during the week. The only thing that's really cropped up in the past day or so was some concrete reporting, I guess, from Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer that the Mavericks have inquired about Robert Covington, and not just inquired, but actually made some offers. O'Connor doesn't know exactly what they offered. Looking at what the Mavs have, they don't have any first rounders that they can trade until 2025. Obviously, they had the Kristaps Porzingis trade. They traded up to get Luka Doncic a couple years ago. So the Mavs don't have a lot of trade assets available. They do have some second rounders, so I'm sure that was part of it. Courtney Lee has an expiring deal. No doubt that that's kind of where the offer started. Of course, the Wolves, turned down those offers. We've talked about at length here my theory that Covington will not be traded, I don't think, unless there's just this crazy bidding war for a guy who's really good, but obviously not quite like a superstar. I don't think Gerson Rosas trades a guy who's on a bargain deal like Covington, and also fits exactly what Rosas wants to do. He's the only guy on the team that is consistent on both ends of the floor. To some extent, I mean, the offensive game isn't ultra consistent from Covington, but that's also just as much due to the system as anything else. If Covington's open from three, he's going to shoot it, and he can do so at an above league average clip, and he's a great defender. And that's that. There's a lot to be said for that. Britt Robson at The Athletic actually had an article that posted on Thursday during the day about, it was half about trade deadline speculation, and him just throwing out a few ideas, and then also half kind of an autopsy, I guess, of the loss to the Bulls on Wednesday night, which was, of course, really ugly in terms of the defensive effort. It was great in terms of Cat scoring 40, the Wolves coming back from 19 down and making a game of it. It was a fun game to watch, especially the second half. But Robson correctly lambasts the Wolves for the defensive effort, talks a little bit about which, when we talked on this podcast on Thursday, I didn't know about this, but Ryan Saunders apparently lit into his team at halftime more than he had at any point previously, basically due to effort, because of those 10 turnovers in the first, 10 minutes or whatever that was in the game, and the lack of defensive effort. But Robson also mentions, talks a little bit about how Rosas would be basically flying in the face of what he's said all along if he traded Covington, if he traded a guy who is a 3-and-D player, who is on an affordable contract, who embodies what the Wolves are trying to do as an organization now. And that's really just a stronger way of saying what I've said all along, that Covington won't be traded. He's a fit for what the Wolves are trying to do. And unfortunately, he happens to be their best trade asset, not named Karl Anthony Towns. So the Wolves will have to be creative. And with the front office they have, Sachin Gupta, some of these guys who have been with other really intelligent organizations, I'm sure that the Wolves will do that. I mean, the Teague trade's one example where at first glance, you're like, why did they make this trade? Well, they save a couple million. They get bird rights for Allen Crabbe. They get to try out a shooter who might be a fit in the future because they have his bird rights in Crabbe. It also gets rid of a guy who wasn't a fit in the offense, and therefore having Teague on the floor it made it hard to evaluate the Wolves' offense and the pieces that the Wolves do want to keep for the future within the confines of the offense. And so the trade does make some sense from that perspective. And that's an example of kind of an ancillary move that on its face is kind of, it just seems like a shuffling deck chairs type move. But there are some reasons the Wolves did it, and we detailed those right after it happened too. In terms of this weekend, the Wolves The Wolves, of course, are taking on Oklahoma City and Houston in a back-to-back, I guess in the other way around, though. Houston Friday, Oklahoma City Saturday. And then they'll host Sacramento on Monday. And it's a really tough back-to-back, obviously. Realistically, you know, managing expectations for this weekend, I don't know that anybody's expecting the Wolves to beat Houston. I haven't looked at the line, but I'd be willing to bet it's close to double digits. Home game against Houston on Friday. Timberwolves fans are tired of silver linings wins. I mean, we went through that a lot, really a lot over the past 15 plus years, quite honestly. But silver linings wins are something that I just sound gross, but realistically, the Wolves are going to need to look for some silver linings this weekend against Houston and against Oklahoma City. At least both games are at home. They'll have a, you know, the Thunder are certainly a beatable team. The Wolves should have beaten them the first time in Oklahoma City, and that was a game that Andrew Wiggins didn't play in. The last time that the Wolves played each of these teams, Karl-Anthony Towns was not available either. So there's certainly, you know, the Wolves could do some damage. But I think what we're looking for, hopefully they win one of these games, but the effort level needs to be far superior to what it was in Chicago on Wednesday. On the defensive end of the floor, the carelessness can't be there on offense. The ridiculous turnovers, the shot selection actually wasn't terrible in Chicago. It was the turnovers before they could even get a shot off. It was the lack of effort defensively. The defensive rebounding was actually probably the thing that bothered me the most. The perimeter defense wasn't awful, but the help defense, the pick and roll defense wasn't great. And a lot of that has to do with Karl-Anthony Towns. A lot of it has to do with, you know, looking for some continuity on that end of the floor, with Towns recently re-entering the rotation. But the defensive rebounding has become a major issue, with Towns now having four games in a row where he's rebounded in single digits. First time that's happened since his rookie year. He needs to step up and rebound the ball a lot better against some of these teams. And Robert Covington needs to rebound his position a little bit better, although it doesn't fall to Robert Covington simply because he's playing the four. He's actually rebounding the ball decently on the season. It's just the combination of having essentially four smalls on the floor. Andrew Wiggins rebounds like he's a 6 foot point guard, along with Towns. They need Wiggins to rebound like he should be rebounding. They need Covington to do what he's doing, you know, maybe add a board a game to his total. And then Josh Okogie and Jared Culver have mostly been decent rebounders this year, but lately they just haven't been. Shabazz Napier is not a great rebounder. The Wolves just need those guys to rebound their positions at an average level, and they need Towns to do what he's done for most of his career as a rebounder, and they can be competitive in that category. But lately they haven't been getting that, and it's been really disappointing. So I'd say effort, increase in rebounding effort and defensive effort especially, and a lack of, and just not being careless on offense will go a really long way to being in both of these games. And really, we talked about this at length, in six of the seven games during this losing streak, the Wolves have been in the game. So the doom and gloom that's out there, and a little bit of this was from the Robson article, is a little bit much. And I get that they've had a 13 game losing streak or whatever that was, and now an 11 game or a 7 game losing streak, excuse me. And it's hard to argue that there's silver linings there at all. But in this latest losing streak, these were all playoff teams until Chicago, and the Wolves were in every single game except for, I think it was the game against Houston that they weren't. So it's hard for me to get too worked up about it. Although, I guess we'll have a better idea here after this weekend, after the Wolves, get closer to the trade deadline, where they stand. But at some point, they're going to have to start coming through in some of these closer games, instead of just being in the conversation to win the game, actually have a shot to win in the final couple of minutes and pull through. So hopefully that happens this weekend. If it doesn't, they play Sacramento on Monday, and that, of course, would be a winnable game against a team in a similar spot in the Western Conference, and also a team that they beat in Sacramento to end their last long losing streak right after Christmas, in double overtime in one of the ugliest games of the year. But at any rate, certainly some chances to win this weekend. And success, I think, starts with being competitive, showing that they care, not committing careless turnovers, rebounding the ball, you know, all those different things that ultimately, if they can do those things, they could win a game. But the competitive level needs to be risen pretty significantly. All right, before we move on to talk specifically about the matchups, I did want to talk about MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is a place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between the tail end of football season, the Super Bowl is 10-ish days from now, NBA, and the middle of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try Parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's preview Wolves-Rockets for Friday night. I was a little bit, I myself joined the doom and gloom, I guess, a moment ago when I predicted that the spread would be close to double digits in this game. It's actually only Rockets minus 5.5. Houston struggled a bit lately. Of course, they beat the Wolves by 30 just not even 2 weeks ago. But after that, they lost four games in a row at Memphis, at home against Portland, home against the Lakers, and home for the Thunder. I mean, the Memphis, Portland, and Thunder games are all games they should have won. They did just beat the Nuggets at home this week. I think that was Wednesday night. They won by 16. Obviously, the Nuggets are a good team that just beat the Wolves easily, relatively easily. So Houston's still, you know, second in the division. They're only half game behind Dallas in the division, and they're in, you know, a good spot in the conference overall. Houston's still sixth, but they're only half game behind Dallas, 2.5 behind Denver, a couple games ahead of Oklahoma City. So Houston has struggled a bit of late, 5-5 in their last 10. They lost those four in a row, and they've dealt with some injuries as well. And so all that said, obviously Houston's going to be favored to win this game. There's nobody listed on their injury report currently. Clint Capella missed the last game against the Wolves and came back shortly thereafter, and the Wolves were not able to take advantage of his absence, unfortunately. So this is a matchup we've seen before. We've seen the struggles that the Wolves have faced against the Rockets. The two times they've played this year, the first time was way back in November, mid-November. The Wolves at the time were still 7-5 heading into the game. Jake Lehman hadn't gotten hurt yet. Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns hadn't gotten hurt yet. Shabazz Napier was injured. He was the only guy that really missed the game. In that game, Towns went for 27-14, 3-6 beyond the arc. Jeff Teague had 8 points, 12 assists as a starter. Robert Covington had 17-6, was just 2-7 beyond the arc. Jake Lehman had 21-5, 3-4. From three-point range. Culver had 13 off the bench. The Wolves also played Keelan Martin and Kade Bates-Diop in this game. Josh Okogie, I guess, also sat out. That was when he had a couple of games where he had an elbow injury where he missed. Gorgui Dieng did not play as a coach's decision. Noah Vonleh was the backup big man in this game. And that was a game where the Wolves were actually in it until the end. Minnesota trailed by 2 at halftime. They were down 8 at the start of the fourth quarter, but were still hanging around and then got blown out in the fourth quarter, ended up losing by 20. But that's kind of been the Wolves' MO against good teams for the most part, save for the last time they played Houston, is to hang around, to be competitive, and then to kind of fall apart at the end. The last time these two teams played was just January 11th, so not 2 weeks ago. And this was right before Karl-Anthony Towns came back from injury. So he did not play. However, neither did Clint Capella. The Rockets got a monster game from Isaiah Hartenstein, who had 17-15 with 5 blocks. He was 8-9 shooting, plus 39 in only 26 minutes. This game was not even as close as 30 points, and the Wolves just had this little bit of a garbage time surge. Jordan Bell was a plus 8 in 7 minutes. So garbage time was good to the Wolves in this one. They didn't have anybody score more than 16 points. Okogie had 16 off the bench. Culver had 15 as a starter. Gorgui Dieng had 14-6, but only played 18 minutes. The Wolves went small to try and combat what the Rockets were doing. It didn't really work. I mean, it led to Okogie having a great game, 16-5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. And Culver had 15, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists as well. But the Wolves didn't get anything from their big men. Again, Gorgui didn't play that much. Covington had a so-so game. I mean, he attempted 4 threes, making 1. And that was the game where the Wolves were really good defensively early. Houston was really sloppy. The first quarter, it really felt like the Wolves could hang around. And then the second quarter, the Rockets outscored the Wolves by 14. And heading into the final quarter, they were up by 26, built the lead even higher than that, ultimately won by 30, and that was that. Clearly, the Rockets are a tough matchup for the Wolves. Part of that is, I mean, with Capella healthy, Capella's a really tough matchup for Towns because of all the different things that he can do. And so that it doesn't cancel Towns out. Towns is still the better all-around player, but Capella's a perfect fit for what Houston does. And because of the high frequency of pick and rolls in the Rockets' offense, the Wolves really struggle to slow down ball handlers in the pick and roll. That's been well documented, and that allows Harden to do whatever he wants. And he's always attempted it. He's always been a high usage player, but it seems like he's attempting even more shots against the Wolves because of the way they play the pick and roll. Houston actually plays quite a bit of isolation as well, and the Wolves generally guard teams in isolation fairly well with some good perimeter defenders, Robert Covington, Josh Okogie, even Jarrett Culver. Minnesota can guard Harden in isolation. They do a decent job with help defense on perimeter players. The problem lately has been Towns misjudging when to give help and allowing easy offensive rebounds, which is something that could kill the Wolves with both Hartenstein and Clint Capella. So keep an eye on that matchup, particularly related to how Towns plays his help defense, how the Wolves cover when players get into the paint, and how they're trying to handle that. Expect Harden to have another huge game. That's just what he does. The other night against Denver, Harden had 27 on 6 of 13 shooting. He was 13 of 15 from the free throw line. Russell Westbrook has also come on a lot more lately, 28 and 16 with 8 assists and 4 steals in this game. He was a game high plus 25. Excuse me, that was a high for the starters. Daniel House actually was a plus 28 off the bench. And the Rockets won that game against the Nuggets pretty easily. They were up 17 at halftime, ended up winning by 16. And Harden and Westbrook were the reasons why. Capella did what he does, had 14 and 11, and that's to be expected. So, again, if Minnesota plays like they did against Chicago, they're going to get beat by at least 25 in this game. But if they compete, if they can get in passing lanes like they did early in the last matchup against Houston, and actually for a stretch against the Wolves were playing good defense. It was like the second quarter only, I guess. But if they can get in passing lanes, be active, be smart with their help defense, and actually commit to defensive rebounding, then they can stay in this game, and anything can happen. And that's what we've seen against Houston in the past, except for the last time out when they lost by 30. But that's what the Wolves will need to do in this game to at least make things competitive. All right, next up, we are going to talk about Wolves Thunder on Saturday and give a quick preview for that game. First, though, I did want to talk a little bit about advertising on Locked On Wolves. If you've been a listener of this podcast, and I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Wolves fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, after a Friday night's game against Houston, the Wolves will stay at home and take on the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday. Of course, this is also the third time this year the Wolves will play the Thunder. It was only about a week and a half ago the Wolves played the Rockets and then the Thunder the next time out as well. That wasn't a back-to-back, but they played each team consecutively. The Wolves season series against the Thunder has been frustrating. Everybody remembers the first game. That was when the Wolves entered at 10-10 back on Friday, December 6th. We're playing in Oklahoma City. Both Towns and Wiggins were suddenly on the injury report as questionable for the game. Towns ended up playing. He had a knee thing that was actually unrelated to what he ultimately ended up about a week later hurting his knee. And Wiggins did not play in this game. This was the Teague scoring 32 and 9 in the starting lineup game, leading the team in minutes with 40 minutes. Towns had 30 points, only 5 rebounds. He had 8 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, shot 11 of 16, 5 of 9 from 3. And the Wolves were ahead by a couple points in the final literal under 2 seconds, like 1.1 seconds left. Ended up losing after the Towns unintentional missed free throw, the Jordan Bell technical for the untucked jersey, and then the accidental made free throw. Full court pass to Dennis Schroeder for the layup that tied the game, went to overtime, and the Wolves were blown out in overtime, 17-5 in the 5-minute overtime period, lost by 12. So frustrating game. It dropped the Wolves to 10-11. They, of course, haven't sniffed the 500 mark since then. The last time around the Wolves played the Thunder, it was at Target Center as well. Minnesota ultimately lost by 13. They were up three after the first quarter, down three after halftime, down 13 headed to the fourth quarter, and then ultimately lost by 13. This was right before Karl-Anthony Towns returned from his injury, so the Wolves did not have him at their disposal. Andrew Wiggins had a terrible game last time against the Thunder, was a game worst minus 22 in the plus-minus column, had 10 points, one rebound in 31 minutes for Andrew Wiggins, three assists, 4 of 12 shooting, missed all three of his three-point attempts. The Wolves were led in scoring by Naz Reid off the bench. This was the game where he launched just a bunch of threes, especially in the first half. I think he scored all 20 or maybe 18 of his 20 points in the first half. 7 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 8 beyond the arc. He also only had one rebound in 18 minutes. And predictably, the Wolves were dominated on the glass in this one. 51 rebounds for the Thunder to 37 for the Timberwolves. And, of course, Towns didn't play, but lately, Towns hasn't been adding that much on the glass either. The leading rebounder on the Wolves, three guys had 5 rebounds. Jared Culver, Shabazz Napier, and Josh Okogie. Robert Covington only had 4 rebounds himself. He had 18 points, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. So the story in this one was the Wolves actually shot the three ball okay. They were 12 of 35, 34.3%. They did not rebound the ball. They were out-rebounded, as mentioned, by 14 rebounds in this game. And they just didn't have any offensive consistency outside of Naz Reid and Robert Covington making threes. Shabazz Napier was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, had 16 points. Jared Culver, this was kind of right towards the beginning of his strong stretch of games that, of course, has tapered off a bit here recently. But then the Wolves also defensively, they couldn't stop Danilo Gallinari, who had 30 points. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropped a massive triple-double in this game, 20-20-10. 8 of 12 shooting. The Wolves could not contain him, could not keep him off the glass. And to have Wiggins be out-rebounded by Gilgeous-Alexander, 20 rebounds to 1, is just absolutely hideous. And I don't know how we didn't talk more about that at the time. But that can't happen again, to say the least. Wiggins, of course, had 0 rebounds at halftime of each of the last two games and had to be lit into by Ryan Saunders for that, and somehow hasn't learned his lesson there. So the Wolves will need to try their best to get SGA off the glass to keep Gallinari in check. Chris Paul hasn't done much damage against them this year. And then Steven Adams also, he had 13-11, but wasn't as much of a factor as you'd expect with no Towns. Gorgui Dieng's a pretty good matchup for him. And then also the Wolves played a lot of small ball. They put Naz Reid on the perimeter, which took Adams out of the paint quite a bit. So don't expect the Wolves to have Towns in the post nearly as much as they started with him down there in the Bulls game with that matchup, a favorable matchup against the Bulls big men. Expect the Wolves to do a lot more five out, a lot more of Towns in the pick and roll, out on the perimeter shooting threes to keep Adams out of the paint, which should, if Wiggins is aggressive, allow Wiggins and Culver especially some more driving lanes and an opportunity to score at the rim. The Thunder as a team overall lately have kind of stabilized a little bit after a little bit of a blip on the radar. They've won 3 in a row after having lost 2 in a row. They beat Portland, 1 at Houston, at Orlando. They play on Friday night in Atlanta, so they'll also be on a back-to-back and, of course, have to fly basically right up I-35 to Minneapolis to take on the Wolves on Saturday. So at least both teams will be on a back-to-back. So this is definitely a winnable game for Minnesota. But a team that they've struggled with, at least struggled to close out as well. So here's hoping that the Wolves can salvage at least one of these two games on Friday, Saturday before they take on Sacramento Monday. We'll, of course, be back Monday morning to talk through studs and duds from Friday and Saturday. We'll also do a quick preview of the Kings game on Monday and then look ahead to the rest of next week. All right, that's all we have for you today here. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.